Okay, we'll wind this up as quickly as we can. Thank you for your patience. He said, I did not answer his arguments. Boy, did he miss a lot. He didn't answer one of mine either. My question I asked him, did you ever hear of anyone getting pregnant in marrying, by marrying? Frankly, we need to maybe understand a little simple grammar. The verb marry means to take your vows and get married. Now, marriage practice is a whole different thing. And that means to practice the things that are involved in that relationship that you took your vows to. Before I get to the rest of this material here, I want you to look at this, think about this chart here. This is kind of the bottom line of the whole thing, of what Pat is contending for. Here are three men who come to us from the background of the world. Man A killed his wife. I don't know how he got out of it, but he did, served his time, or paid his price, whatever. And now then, he wants to know what it takes to be a Christian. Man B never married anyone. He just practiced fornication with this one and that one and the other, and never did do the right thing. Man C married the only woman he ever loved and was faithful to her throughout. She finally divorced him without a reason. Now, this is how it plays out in real life, what he's telling you. If these three men come to the church where Pat Donahue preaches and ask him, what does it take for me to do to be a Christian? Man A, who killed his wife, will be told, you have no problem. Murder's pardonable. Just repent. Don't kill anybody else. Go right here on. You'll be fine. Be forgiven by the blood of Christ. Man B, who never married any of the women that he linked up with, just fornicated with all of them, never did the right thing at all, he'll be told, you have no problem. Just stop fornicating and just do the right thing from here on out and be cleansed in the blood of Christ. Maybe be an elder in the church someday, you know, don't know. But this poor old man C, who did the right thing, now he's in a heap of trouble. We'll meet him at the door and we'll say, we won't even baptize you unless you will promise never to marry anyone again as long as you live. He's the only one of the three who did the right thing. And he's the only one of the three who has to pay a penalty upon becoming a Christian, a very severe penalty, according to the doctrine that Pat is giving to you tonight. Now, I'm not in the affirmative tonight. He's trying to put me into the affirmative, and tomorrow night I will be. I will be affirming that God approves marriage for every unmarried person, and the Scripture explicitly says this, including, and this is specified in the text, including those who have been divorced, regardless of the reason. Your Bible says that. Come back tomorrow night and we'll look at that. I will be in the affirmative at that time. But tonight, I'm in the negative. And the question about those Corinthians who had been adulterers, among other things, the question is not, did they have to stop committing the adultery? The question is, did they have to forego eligibility to marry? That's our question. And that is the bottom line of what this issue is all about. It is so devastating to people when God's appointed way of avoiding immorality is denied them because this sin they have committed is declared unpardonable because they say it's still going on, it's still being committed. Now, maybe we'll look at that more tomorrow night. But for now, I did not say that marry includes sex acts. I did not say that. I've never said that. I said marriage includes that, yes. The verb marry just simply means to take the vows and to get married. Now, it cites Hebrews 13:4 and says that, he said this a couple of times, that let marriage be held in honorable and all, and the bed undefiled. So that indicates that the marriage is performed in bed. Well, now, it doesn't say that. Not it doesn't say that the marriage is in bed. It says, let the bed be undefiled. It doesn't show that marriage is a sex act. It shows that people who are married will be engaged in this. So it said, let the marriage be held in honorable among all, and, notice, and the bed undefiled. So it's not talking about the sex act being undefiled. I'll tell you, Pat, frankly, your logic is just weird beyond me. I'll tell you, I never, and I don't mean to be sarcastic or anything. I'm just simply stating an honest opinion. This is the most illogical stuff I think I've ever witnessed, encountered in all my life. I said, yeah, you can be bound without being married. You can be bound to your job. You can be bound in carpentry. You can be married and bound in something else. Well, sure. But if you're going to be bound to a wife, that's marriage. So how can you be bound if you're not married, but you're bound to a woman that you're not married to? Like I said, it escapes me. How in the world can that be called logic? All right, so he says, Brother Hicks would say to him, okay, you don't like your marriage, it's not working out, so just give a divorce and send him away. All right, now, I'm not the author of that kind of a statement. You read what Moses said about it? Moses said, Deuteronomy 24, if it comes to pass that you're putting away your wife because you found in her some unclean thing, write the bill of divorcement and sent her away. So that's why I said the humane thing, according to God, if you're not going to be a husband to this wife, the humane thing to do is release her, not just keep her hanging, not married, and yet still bound in that kind of a thing. That was the very reason that God had Moses to write that particular command. Men were putting their wives out and not really releasing them. God did not want wives put out of a marriage without being released. So he told Moses, he didn't say tell them to go ahead and divorce, tell them to break their marriage. He didn't say that. He said, if you're putting them out, then give them the bill of divorcement. And that was to keep this from happening. And ironically, that doctrine that Pat is pursuing tonight, that doctrine recreates exactly that situation. A person put out of a marriage but not released. That's exactly what he's contending for. That's why God told Moses to write the command, don't do that, give them the release. And then they'd go and be another man's wife. So, this thing about the law, Romans 7, 2, 3, and so on, bound by the law. Well, sure, we take our vows. According to the law, we make our commitments for life. When we get married, we promise to cherish and love, honor, and so forth, as long as we live. So this is the law of the land, the marriage ceremony, the certificate that we get, and all of that. And then the same thing in Romans 7, or in 1 Corinthians 7:39. Yeah, did you notice it says she is bound by the law? Bound by what? By the law. That's what you subscribe to when you take the certificate. You get the legal license to get married. And you commit yourself to a lifelong relationship. Of course you do. There's no argument about that. But anyway, in Deuteronomy 24 is where Moses said that I mentioned. And I want to go to another section of material here. Because what I'd like for you to do is to look at these scriptures. We've been talking about this subject right here, and if I can get on here. These things can be frustrating sometimes. I think I'm going to get there, though. All right.
You can always have.
Okay, thanks. All right. Now, I want you just to look at about four or five scriptures here. Just look at what the Bible says. Lay aside all this theorizing, rationalization, explaining this, that, and the other. Just take these scriptures and look at them. Matthew 19:4-6. He said, haven't you read? He who made him at the beginning made him male and female, and said a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and become no longer two but one flesh. And so what God has joined together, let not man separate or put asunder. That's simple, isn't it? That's just start right there. And then the next couple of verses there, the Pharisees asked the question, well, why then? They understood he was telling them not to break their marriage. Why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce, put her away? Well, Jesus answered, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wife, but from the beginning it was not so. God did not intend for divorces to happen. But when they were happening, God told Moses to tell these men, release that wife. If you're putting her out, give her a bill of divorcement and release her. Evidently, it was the humane thing to do, to release her. And we're creating the same situation today. Someone put out of the marriage but not released. It is not biblical. It disagrees with everything the Bible says about it. So now, in verse 9, he said, anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. Well, that's simple enough. And I asked Pat if he believed that. And he said, yes, he does. Well, if he believes that, then he can't say that marrying is a sex act. He has to adjust that to try to make that a sex act and make the adultery a sexual activity. And Jesus said, when he puts away one and marries the other. Pat doesn't believe that. He says he does. He doesn't believe that adultery occurs when that happens. He thinks it has to be a sex act before that happens. So his disciples said, if such is the case with a man and his wife, it better not to marry. What did Jesus say to that? What do you mean, don't marry? Celibate. Live alone. Don't have a wife. Don't get married. Don't have a companion. How did Jesus react to that? He said, not everybody can do that. Not all men can accept that saying. Some are eunuchs, some are not. Some were made eunuchs by men. Some were made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. And he said, he that is able, look at the last line, he is able to accept it, let him accept it. He did not prescribe celibacy for people who cannot accept it. Now, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul listed these things. And we're just looking at some things the Bible says, putting them in order. He listed some things that in chapter 6 that they cannot do and inherit the kingdom of heaven. And then such were some of you. And how did they cleanse that? How did they get out of that? Folks, what these brethren don't understand is how grace works. They think you pay it back. You earn it or you don't get it. But Paul is talking here about them being cleansed in the blood of Christ. You were sanctified, washed, justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus, by the Spirit of our God, it did not leave them ineligible to marry. Look at verse 2 of the next chapter. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let a man have his own, every man have his own wife, let every woman have her own husband. And then, in verses 3 through 5, he goes ahead and says they're to render the due attention. And this is where the activity, intimate activity, comes between the man and his wife. If they're married, it is an obligation. You've taken vows to that. And it is that aspect of it that enables you to avoid being tempted for fornication. And he says here, do not deprive one another except with consent, briefly, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again. Why? So that Satan does not tempt you for your lack of self-control. How many times would God have to say that that's the way to avoid being tempted before we would understand that God wants us to avoid immorality in that way? By each man having a wife, each woman having a husband, and each one making that marriage as successful and fulfilling as it can be. Now, he mentioned this one a lot in this last speech, verses 10 and 11. I want you to notice how that verse starts out. Now, to the married. Hey, he's applying this to the divorced. It is specifically addressed to the married, I command. Yet not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart, and he admitted that charizo there does not mean divorce, it means depart or separate, like all the versions translated. And then says, even if she does, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And now then he says, how is it that she's unmarried but still has a husband? Okay, good question. Think about that all night. By morning, I'm sure the light is going to come on. How does she, is she unmarried? She's not to marry another husband. How is she unmarried? And she still had a husband. Didn't it say here exactly what she did? What'd she do? Depart. She departed from her husband. All right. So what is she doing? She departs from her husband. She's no longer practicing what he said up at verse 3, 4, and 5. She is not engaging in the marital relationship. She is unmarried. That is the sense in which Paul, this context tells us, in which Paul put that, that she is an unmarried person. Now, how is it? Two verses earlier, back up in verse 8, he addresses the unmarried. Same Greek word, agamos, unmarried. And what did he tell them to do? If they cannot practice self-control, let them marry. For it's better to marry than to burn. Why would he say to that unmarried, let them marry, and he say to this unmarried, don't marry? Remain unmarried. Why is that? Obviously, she still has a husband to be reconciled to. After she's divorced? No. After she's departed. This is addressed to the married, and the perversion part of it comes when you take what is addressed to the married and apply it to the divorce. Not written to the divorce. And when you apply this instruction, remain unmarried or be reconciled, to a divorced person who has no possibility of ever being reconciled, it's simply a sentence of lifelong celibacy. That's what it amounts to. And that flies in the face of everything God has said about marriage being His appointed way to avoid immorality. Now, verse 15. If the unbeliever departs, and he mentioned this verse on his church too. If the unbeliever departs, and here again, it's not divorce, it's depart. Let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such case. Now, what he says is they're not married, but they are under bondage. This contradicts everything the apostle said about it. No. Paul said they are not responsible or under obligation if the faithless one leaves or departs. I had a case in Denver, Colorado some years ago when we were speaking before a congregation. They had a representative from the other viewpoint there, and I spoke. And then we took questions. And this lady, who looked to me like she was about 30 years old, and she said, I was divorced against my will. I didn't want to be divorced, but my husband divorced me anyway. Now, do I have to remain alone the rest of my life? The representative who represented what Pat Donahue is teaching said, yes, you do. I answered the same question, and I said, not only is that doctrine unscriptural, contrary to the Scripture, it's just plain evil. Here it has her stuck in bondage to his sin that she didn't even want him to do for the rest of her life. For what he did, she stuck with celibacy from here on out. Plus, it also contradicts the statement of Paul. Paul said, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. Probably we'll talk about that some more later, but I do want you to see this one here, verse 27, 28. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. And that's derivative from the same word as in Matthew 19:9. Loose, put away. Do not seek to be put away. Do not seek to be divorced. One version renders it. And then it says, are you loose? And what's a form of the same word? Your NIV translates it divorce in verse 27, but in verse 28 it says, are you unmarried? Now that's a distortion and a perversion. The correct version rendered like it is, are you loose? And it's perfect passive of loosen, which means that she divorced him. Not the other way around. And he had to have had a wife. He couldn't be loosed from a wife he never had. So Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was saying, even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And he was not talking about virgins, because he went ahead and said, and if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. So you can find fault with that all you want to. But you're ridiculing God and Paul, not me. I didn't write that. And I've had occasion to tell a lot of people in the world when I talk to them about something the Bible says and they don't want it that way. Is it your understanding that I wrote the Bible and I could change it to make it say whatever I want to? I did not. And God said through the Apostle Paul, you do not sin if your wife has put you away and you marry. You have not sinned. Thank you.